Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Scott Cullen. You've seen my work on The Athletic and McKean's and on TSN.ca for many years. You will also see my written work at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto has amazing selection for just about any kind of vehicle at reliably low prices. They have all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. In today's episode, we continue with our off-season reports and our kind of preseason countdown works its way to Nashville, where we'll take a look at the Predators and kind of determine what kind of season awaits for them in 2021-2022. So let's start with the forwards. On the top line, left winger, we've got Philip Forsberg, who is a bona fide star talent. Forsberg has missed more than 15 games, though, in three of the past four seasons. Now, when he has been healthy, he has 194 points in 233 games in that time. And Forsberg has a highlight reel that is probably in the top five, maybe top 10 in the entire league. You see the kinds of things that he tries, the confidence required, the audacity required to make some of the moves that Forsberg does. There are a lot of guys who don't even consider making the kinds of plays that he will make. And so really, it would be nice if he had more of a supporting cast that would help him kind of explode offensively. But as is, he's still a very good player when healthy. At center, we've got Ryan Johansson. Now, look, it's one thing to commit $8 million per season to a center. Another thing altogether when that $8 million center has 58 points in 116 games over the past 2 years. That's a half a point per game for $8 million. Johansson is capable of more, but he's been a reluctant shooter since arriving in Nashville, and that trend has only been getting worse from year to year. And so I don't have a ton of faith that Ryan Johansson is going to bounce back offensively. I mean, it could get a little percentage bump and have better numbers than half a point per game. But I don't envision Ryan Johansson kind of turning back the clock and being vintage Ryan Johansson. Now, on the right side of the top line, we've got a major question mark already. But pencil in Luke Kunin, who's a feisty forward. He has 71 points in 169 career games between Minnesota and Nashville. He's not necessarily an ideal fit as a first-line winger, so this is why he's in pencil here. He can contribute some offensively, and that, you know, does put him in the discussion, I guess, as a scoring forward, but I'm not entirely sold on Luke Kunin in this spot. So we will continue through and maybe see some other alternatives who can move up into that first-line right-wing spot. Second line, we've got Michael Granlund. And now Granlund might play center. He could play left wing. I think he and Matt Duchene will probably do a bit of both. But Granlund's a skilled forward. Played a career-high 19.28 per game for the Predators last season. The problem is Granlund's offensive production has really tailed off in Nashville. In 130 games with the Preds, he has 62 points. And, you know, given what he was doing in his best years at in Minnesota, when he was putting up more than 65 points in a couple of seasons, it's tough to get terribly excited about what Granlund's doing in Nashville now. And then we have Matt Duchene, and you see, it's one thing when you commit $8 million to a center, but much like Johansson, Duchene has not been producing either. He had just 13 points in 34 games last season, which is nearly disastrous. But the reason it's not entirely disastrous is that Duchene's offensive impact, his underlying numbers during 5-on-5 play, were still quite strong. It was hindered by an abysmal on-ice shooting percentage, 6.7%. And it's possible, maybe even likely, that Duchene bounces back. But it's hard to count on him too much at this point. You know, you get into your 30s and have a not very productive season, it's really difficult to kind of say, oh, that everything will be fine and he'll be okay next year. Now, I mean, in a shortened season and a season that Duchene also missed time with injuries, it's reasonable to think that he can bounce back and be better next season, in part because it would be hard to be worse. Then we've got on the right side, we've got Eli Tolvanen. And now Tolvanen is a sniper, got a good look in Nashville last season. I mean, some credit here to the Preds is that they gave some of their young guys a shot to play. And Tolvanen, who had seemed to plateau in the American Hockey League, did end up with putting up 22 points in 40 games for Nashville. And that included a dozen points on the power play. And it would be reasonable to have, you know, some optimism and hope that as a young forward, Tolvanen can continue to develop as a scorer. It's also fair to wonder whether he's going to be that heavily dependent on power play production. That's more than 50% of his points last year scored with the man advantage. So there is a path here, as I was kind of questioning Luke Kunin on the top line, you could very easily see Eli Tolvanen getting a shot there with Johansson and Forsberg, and maybe that's the play, is you give Tolvanen a shot there where he can just pull the trigger, playing with a center who doesn't like to shoot. And so, as you go through their top six, there's some decent players, but a lot of question marks. When you're having question marks in your top six forwards, that's generally not a great sign. Okay, to the third line, and I've got Nick Cousins on one of the wings, I guess on the left side, and he's a very strong defensive winger, and he's moved around quite a bit, both in terms of teams and positions, but he could play really anywhere in Nashville's bottom six. Now, the third line center spot is interesting. We've got Cody Glass there. The Predators taking a shot that they can get Glass back on track. He was the sixth overall pick in the 2017 draft. And then in 66 games with Vegas since then, he has 22 points. In some respects, Vegas is giving up on Cody Glass, because I'm sure if they thought that he could turn into a first-line center, they would hold on to him. But I think at this point, they're willing to cut bait, and then it's up to Nashville here to find out whether they can extract more from Cody Glass. And if he does produce, you could very easily see Glass climbing up the depth chart. As I've commented here, Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene aren't exactly putting this thing on lockdown. So if Cody Glass plays really well, maybe that's one avenue here to Nashville changing their look up front, is that Cody Glass could expand his role. As I say, I've got him here kind of penciled in as the third line center, but it's entirely possible he goes for a higher spot in the depth chart than that. Now on the right side, we've got Rocco Grimaldi, tiny winger, but he has scored 20 goals in 106 games across the past two seasons. At the same time, his defensive play has been a little suspect, so Grimaldi is hardly guaranteed a spot there in the top nine. It could very easily slide down to the fourth line as well. Now, to the fourth line, on the left side, we've got Tanner Janot, who was undrafted out of Moose Jaw in the Western Hockey League, climbed his way up through the minors, and that included a couple of short stints in the ECHL. But last season, had 21 points in 13 AHL games to earn a promotion to Nashville, and then he produced 7 points, including 5 goals, in 15 games. But what Janot also had, 53 hits. Nice to have some of that offensive production, but he also throws his weight around pretty freely, and for fantasy purposes, that's appealing. And just in a general, hey, do you think this guy has a role to play on the team? He can be the big body guy who goes in and creates havoc on the forecheck and plays the body, and it turns out that maybe he could score a little bit too. Keep an eye on Tanner Janot. I've got him there on the fourth line, and there's certainly no guarantees for him there, it's worth a look. At center, we've got Colton Sissons, who's a veteran center. He plays more than a typical fourth liner. Over the past 4 years in Nashville, he's averaging more than 15 minutes per game. And Sissons is typically strong defensively. The key to his impact really is kind of, how big an issue his offensive contributions are. If they're just, a little below average, then great, because the defense pays off then. But if he's way below average, which he was last season, it was a bit of a shortcoming, made it a little bit more difficult for his defensive play to overcome that. Then on the right side here, I've got Yakov Trenin, who's a checking winger, has good size. He isn't afraid to use it. Has 17 points in 66 NHL games so far. So you can see that that's a blue collar lunch pail fourth line there for Nashville. But we've got some openings here and some other guys who may contend for spots. And I think the most intriguing one will be rookie winger Philip Tomasino. We'll talk about him more in the prospect section, but Tomasino had a really great year in the American Hockey League last year. And if you're looking to kind of shake up the forward group in Nashville, maybe it's a young guy like Philip Tomasino. If I have questions about Luke Kunin as the first line right winger, what if it's Tomasino? That changes the entire makeup just by moving him in there and the sliding guys down the lineup. You got a center like Rem Pitlick who got a chance to play a little bit for Nashville last season, and then you've got guys who have sort of been on the fringe of the NHL for a bit, getting in some NHL and AHL games, and that's Mathieu Oliver and Matt Luff, who had been with Los Angeles. And so you can see there's adequate depth, I think, with what Nashville has. But I think the real question is what can some of the newcomers and younger guys, what will their roles be? And if there is kind of more of an emphasis on guys like Tolvanen and Cody Glass and Tanner Janot and Philip Tomasino and even Yakov Trenin, if those guys are given a bit more of an opportunity, well, then maybe you're looking at a different makeup here of the forward group for Nashville, and maybe that's what they need because, you know, some of these guys who have been around for a while, they're just not producing enough to be really interesting. So we will continue on here through the Predators. We will look at defense and goaltending after this. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, it's $353 from a chain store. At Rock Auto, it's $216. That's more money going in your pocket. And Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Okay, so we looked at the forwards for the Nashville Predators. Yeah, some good, some bad. There are definitely some question marks there. Let's take a look at the defense. And at least the number one guy is pretty solid. Roman Josi is one of the top defensemen in the game. He's finished top five in Norris voting three times, including a win in 2019-2020. He's excellent skating with the puck in transition. Generates quite a bit of Nashville's offense. Now, who's going to play on the right side with Roman Josi? They've traded Ryan Ellis, and I guess that leaves some options. And one is Alexandre Carrier, an undersized puck-moving defenseman. He can skate well. Carrier has 3 points in 24 career games, but if you look at his minor league production, it's good enough that you could think that he could contribute in the NHL as well. But more importantly here, Carrier held his own while playing about 20 minutes per game for the Preds last season. You know, 19 games in the regular season and a handful in the playoffs. And if he didn't look out of place there, then, you know, maybe that's the opportunity here for Carrier to step up and get a full-time spot, whether it's necessarily on the top pairing, but maybe even just in the top four. He can see whether or not what he showed last season can be carried over to a full season. To the second pair on the left side, we've got Mattias Ekholm, a steady and strong veteran blue liner who seemed like he was going to be the prize of the trade deadline last year, except Nashville then kept winning and decided they weren't going to be selling off their veteran players. Now, Ekholm's defensive impact kind of declined a bit last season, and yet the Predators outscored opponents 45-24 during 5-on-5 play with Ekholm on the ice last year. So, you know, maybe the defensive impacts weren't great, but the end result was still pretty awesome. And so Josi and Ekholm are still kind of the mainstays on that Nashville blue line. Now, on the right side here, potentially on the second pair, is Philippe Myers, who was acquired from Philadelphia as part of that Ryan Ellis deal. And Myers is a 6'5", right-shot defenseman who can skate, and had some decent moments with the Flyers, but also kind of some uneven moments, and he's not firmly established that he can be, say, part of a shutdown pair in the National Hockey League. He might get that chance in Nashville, Or maybe he gets a chance to pair with Yossi. There will be opportunity here for Philippe Myers to kind of establish a foothold in terms of what his role is in the National Hockey League. Now, to the third pair, and I guess on the left side, we've got Mark Borowiecki. Borokop doesn't offer a whole lot with a puck on his stick, but he's the thumper. He will play a physical game as long as he's in the lineup. Part of the deal is he ends up missing quite a bit of time with injuries. You'll need some depth on that blue line, and it looks like they have it. But on the right side, we've got Dante Fabbro. Now, Fabbro's 23-year-old right-shot defenseman, has played more than 19 minutes per game the past two seasons. It would be entirely possible that Fabbro could play higher up in the Nashville lineup. Like, conceivably, he could play with Yossi on the top pair. But he also might just be a strong option on the third pair. There's kind of a great deal of uncertainty, I guess, with the right side on Nashville's defense. So who else, could be in the defensive mix? And so Matt Benning would seem to be, maybe the safest and most reliable one, a guy who's, been around for a while and a half-decent puck mover. And if he ends up playing on the left side on the third pair, because Borowiecki is hurt or something, he's not going to provide the same kind of game, that's for sure. But when he's moving the puck well, Benning can be a pretty useful player. Then there's Ben Harper, a big and generally immobile defenseman who ideally is not part of your regular top six. If he ends up being your eighth defenseman who gets plugged in from time to time, I suppose that's fine. But it's not ideal if Ben Harper's playing a big role on the blue line. And then you got a couple of prospects, David Ferentz and Jeremy Davies. I don't think that they're going to get right off the start, but you could very easily see them coming up during the season. And, potentially if they're going well and some of these veterans are not, you could see guys like Davies and Ferentz, forcing their way into Nashville's defense picture. So I guess overall, defense has been such a strong suit for Nashville for so long. And the fact that you still have Yossi and Ekholm gives you something to cling to. But there's some risk here, between Carrier and Myers and Fabbro and if it's prospects like Davies and Ferentz getting into that mix, there's a lot of uncertainty. And now that some of that uncertainty could, spring in the right direction, that if maybe Philippe Myers steps up his game from what we've seen in Philadelphia. Maybe Alexandre Carrier can play the way he did in 20 games for the Predators last season. Maybe Dante Fabbro continues to build on what he's shown in his first couple of years in the league. And those things all progress forwards, then things could be really nice on the Nashville blue line. At the other hand, if these young guys stumble a bit and don't perform, things could get ugly. And so I think that's sort of the story here between the forwards and defense for Nashville is that, there's some upside and things could go right, but there's also a risk that things could go sideways in a hurry. So let's take a look at the goaltending. Who's going to bail these guys out? And UC Saros, who the Preds made a really smooth transition from Pekka Rinne to Saros, letting Saros have the starter's role last year. And they're very different goaltenders. Rinne was enormous and covered a ton of the net. Saros is not, but he's an outstanding goaltender. He finished sixth in Vezina voting last year, but probably deserved better than that. His even strength numbers were best in the league. And so I think UC Saros, when it looked like Nashville's season was going down the drain and they were going to be big sellers at the trade deadline, the play of UC Saros basically turned everything around and got Nashville into the playoffs. So, while Saros is not the prototype mammoth goaltender, he's still one of the better goaltenders in the league. So I think Nashville can be pretty comfortable with him in the starter's role. And now to the backup is David Rittich, who had a couple of decent years in Calgary before last season. Last season was kind of a struggle. Played 19 games in Calgary and then Toronto. I suppose at this point he's a mediocre backup option. It's not terrible, I don't know that you're looking at the Nashville goaltending situation and thinking that's as good as it used to be when they had Rinne starting and Saros as the backup. There is a bit more of a drop-off here going from Saros to Rittich. So I guess when we take a kind of overall look at the defensive package here for Nashville is, again, question marks. And there is some upside, and so things could hold on and work out quite nicely. On the other hand, There's a risk that some of these young defensemen don't pan out. Maybe Saros has a hard time playing a full season as the number one guy. And really, I don't think that Nashville has a lot of room to maneuver. That if they don't have a huge cushion on what their expected production is going to be this year and what's going to be required to get into the playoffs. And so if Saros is not playing at a high level, it could be pretty tough for them. So we will continue on. Coming up next, we will look at power play, penalty kill, some remaining needs and prospects before deciding, the fate of this year's Nashville Predators. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, BetOnline.ag, or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, baseball, hockey, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. So, when looking at the Nashville special teams, and we started on the power play over the past three seasons during 5-on-4 play, Nashville ranks 20th in shots per 60 at 50.9. They're 22nd in expected goals per 60 at 5.89, 27th in actual goals per 60 at 5.31. Well, none of those numbers are very encouraging, and you might think that there definitely should be changes on this Nashville power play, and maybe Eli Tolvanen can help steer it in the right direction. And this is part of the reason that you might want to refresh the forward group in Nashville, is that you need better results with the man advantage. This team isn't good enough to have a punchless power play go on and on and still expect to compete for the playoffs in a central division that looks very challenging. Power play does seem like an area of definite weakness for Nashville. Now, to the penalty kill, and in the past three seasons during 4-on-5 play, they're 9th in shot attempts against per 60. That's 89.5. They are 12th in actual shots against per 60, 49.9. 11th in expected goals against per 60, 6.06. So all those numbers, better than average. Not at the top of the league, but clearly better than average over the past three seasons. However, actual goals against per 60 during 4-on-5 play, 7.57, that is 27th in the league. And now, some of this could be that UC Saros is a smaller goaltender, and the smaller goaltender doesn't get hit by the puck as much when you're shorthanded. You can look at it by the way of, one of the goaltenders who really thrives during 4-on-5 play is Martin Jones. A goaltender who's not necessarily very good in recent seasons, but still his play when his team is shorthanded is not bad. And in the case here of the Predators, a guy like UC Saros, maybe his 4-on-5 play isn't great, but when his 5-on-5 play is, that leaves you in a bit of a precarious spot. The volume and quality of shots that you're allowing aren't too bad, but then the ultimate, in ultimate goals against per 60 over the past three seasons, ranked 27th. Like that's just not good enough. Nashville needs their goaltenders to respond better during 4-on-5 play, because the other numbers in terms of shots suggest that the Predators' penalty kill has probably been above average, except for that pesky part about the goals against. What are remaining needs here for the Nashville Predators? I mean, I think stronger forward talent in general should be the focus, and whether that's Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene step up and kind of play up to their contracts, or is it new guys who step in and play a bigger role and make some changes here? Because I don't think you can keep kind of rolling out a similar lineup for Nashville and expect them to keep pace in the Central Division. So let's take a look at the prospects that have a chance to play for them, make a difference this year. And so on defense, we've got Alexandre Carrier, who only played three games for Chicago in the American Hockey League last year before getting called up to Nashville. And as I said, he had only 3 points in 19 games, but held his own in terms of his defensive performance, played a little bit more than 20 minutes per game. And so that's an encouraging sign for he's an undersized puck mover, but I think, you know, there's you could envision a path to Carrier playing a pretty significant role for Nashville this season. Then we've got winger Philip Tomasino. As I mentioned, Tomasino is junior eligible, should have been going back to the Ontario Hockey League last year, but with no Ontario Hockey League, he got kept in the American Hockey League and then had a monster season. 29 games for Chicago. Tomasino had 32 points. He was plus 20. And at that, you know, it's a small sample of games, but when you see that, you have to think, well, there's a guy who was a first-round pick who might be ready for a shot in the National Hockey League. And so Tomasino, he might be the player who has a chance to shake things up for Nashville's forwards. Then there's left winger Tanner Janot. As I mentioned, he played really well in the American Hockey League last year. He had 21 points in 13 games, plus 13 to get called up. Then had 7 points in 15 games for Nashville while playing like 12 minutes a game. It's not like they you know, brought him up and started giving him big power play time or something. But Janot he's an interesting player because he might just play on the fourth line. But if he's on the fourth line, he's a fourth liner who can bang some bodies and might be able to put the puck in the net a little bit. To defense, we got David Ferentz, who had a really strong career at Boston University, had 16 points in 11 games there last year before his season was done. And then he also got into a couple of games with the Preds. And so Ferentz might force his way right into the discussion off the bat, or, I mean, as Nashville typically puts their guys in the American Hockey League for a little bit, and if they're really good, they don't last there long. But that could be what is waiting for David Ferentz. Center is Rem Pitlick. Pitlick only played 8 games in the American Hockey League last year, but he had 8 goals, 2 assists, was plus 8, and did get promoted to Nashville, where he played 10 games, picked up a couple of assists. You know, Pitlick has, you know, been a productive minor leaguer. Can he, you know, force his way in and play in a role with Nashville where he has a chance to produce as well, or is it just he can kind of squeak in on the fourth line and add some you know, some skill at the bottom of the depth chart too? And then maybe defenseman Jeremy Davies is another prospect. He played 9 games in Chicago in the American Hockey League, had 9 assists, was plus 10, and then got called up to Nashville for his own little late season audition. And you know, that Nashville did this with quite a few guys. And Davies played 16 games for the Preds, had 1 assist. And, you know, I don't know that he's, you know, quite as, I guess, high in terms of expectations as someone like Carrier or maybe even Ferentz. But he could be in this mix. And so I think that the general takeaway from, you know, go through the roster and then these prospects is that there is a chance here for Nashville to, you know, inject some youth into their lineup. You know, see if that can kind of shake things up a little bit. And I think that would probably do them some good. And so overall, you know, what are the Predators? Are they a championship contender? Probably not. Are they a playoff team? Well, there's possibly playoff contender. You know, there's certainly a path to the Predators being a playoff team again. Question is that the more likely scenario in a Central division that really, aside from the Arizona Coyotes, does not really have easy touches? And so I kind of look at Nashville and think they're a coin flip team. If Saros plays well and, you know, some of the young kids take a step forward, they can be a playoff team. If Saros is mediocre and the young guys don't really step up, well, they could be very easily on the outside looking in this year. And so that alone, the uncertainty, does make the Nashville Predators an interesting team going into the 2021-2022 season. But while they might be interesting, I think it also means you can kind of put a damper on expectations for them going into the season as well. So that will do it for today. When we continue on, we will move to the Montreal Canadiens with the next one, and we will continue through the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as the season is winding up over there. But check out both podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.